Hi, my name is Tao Ning Wang. I work at Berkeley Lab. Today I'm going to continue the discussion of parametric analysis of Markov planar shaping system from last year. So non-coplanar system, as shown here, is just the as opposed to coplanar system that we see like as a roller shade or Venetian blinds. A non-coplanar shading system is like subject like awning or overhang that's not being plane with the window. So if we want to model a drop arm awning or something more complex, that's shown here. So the top two images is where we did our field validation of the modeling techniques with two awning positions, one in the summer and one in the winter. And then we monitor the illuminance and the luminance in the test chamber. Just to go overview the methods that we use. So we add a new matrix to the existing three-phase methods. So the three-phase methods before is this formula here, VTD, view, transmission, and the daylight matrix. Each corresponds to the flux transfer from the view inside to the window, and then the window itself incorporates the complex fenestration system, and then from the window to the sky. And then we add a new facade matrix in between the transmission matrix and the daylight matrix, which will capture the flux transfer property of the non-coplanar system. So the way we do that is, as in here, if we have an awning like this, we construct a five-side box as a flux transfer port that encapsulates the awning objects outside the window, and then using the window surface as a sender, and then the box as ports. The sender will generate rays and then gets received and binned on the port surface, and thus the opt property of the flux transfer property of the awning is captured in the matrix. And then just to wrap up the results that we've been found. The top row is for illuminance, so the two graphs corresponds to the two awning position and during the summer and winter, and then the graph on the right is the overall error analysis. If you see here, the F1, F1 edge, F7, those are the three techniques that generates the facade port. So here, what you see here is F1 edge. That is like a hemispherical sampling, and if it's F1, it's only a outside parallel port here, so it's a single port. So we see here F1 has the largest error because we're missing the rays coming from the sides of the facades, and then the others are behaving with expected error. And then for glare, we're also observing a relatively good error. One lesson learned is for DC methods, daylight coefficient methods here, we have an in-seam clamps BSDF that's representing the awning material. And then for rendering, we're sending rays from the viewpoints directly to the sky. And then we're seeing, I don't know if you can see this on the awning fabric, there are many yellow dots here. That's the sampling error caused by the low specular sampling parameters that we set. Those are really high peaks, as you hear, it's like 150,000 candela square meters. Those are the sampling errors. And then we bump up the specular sampling from 1 to 8,000. And then the results looks good. We also develop a tool that automatically generate this facade matrix for modeling. But before we go into that, I want to also talk about the validation that we did for tubular daylighting devices with our flux matrix. So this is the device, the solar tube device that we use. This is modeling. This is all modeling radiance. So the way we generate the model is putting a sender surface at the bottom and then a receiver surface at top. By sending rays from the sender to receiver, we generate the BSDF representation of these tubular daylighting devices. At the same time, we did also install the physical TDD device here in the Flux Lab at the Berkeley Lab. So the command is actually pretty simple using our Flux matrix. And here's the results that we got. We measure work plane illuminance and then compare that to the simulated values and get pretty good agreements. So now I'm going to talk about the tool that we developed to facilitate this process of generating the ports that you just saw. So you don't have to manually construct those ports. Instead, we can use this command that takes your window geometry and your shading geometry, and then you can define or the sender basis, receiver basis, and then output path, and whether you want to generate XML file instead or just radiance matrix file, and then the environment of your shading geometry, such as your exterior walls or other geometry that involves in the ray tracing process, and your on-trip options, and if you want to do backwards or reflection as well. The command, as you can see here, is pretty similar to GenBSDF. The way this script is put together is it's actually a Python script constructed of three dependent Python scripts that you may find useful if for other purpose, but in this case, just a single Python script. So as an example, we do a demonstration here as putting a Venetian blind here outside the window, just so that we can compare the results to the results from GenBSDF. So there's only three objects involved in this calculation: the window .rad file, and then the Venetian blind .rad, and then the exterior wall. So you can substitute Venetian blind with other non-coplanar systems such as overhang or vertical fin or awning, or a combination of both. And then this is the actual command for you to generate the facade matrix. So it takes the window, the Venetian blind, and the exterior wall, and then you specify the sender and receiver basis, and then in this case generates a clamps BSDF. And if you want tensor tree, you just instead specify the sender and receiver to be the corresponding Shirley Chu basis, and then you specify the wrap option here so that it generates an XML file. And then here's the results, resulting BSDF compared to the results from GenBSDF. The overall patterns are pretty close.
Thank you. You get an extra minute.
Okay. So the difference here is in GenBSDF we assume infinite plane. So we try to eliminate the side effects in the side effects of the blinds, and not the side effects of the side effects, but the side effects of light leaking through to the boundary, the boundary condition. But in GenF matrix here, we are generating matrix as modeled. So however you modeled your actual geometry is corresponding to that kind of condition. So that's one thing to keep in mind. So now we're gonna continue from that, extending to a energy performance evaluation once you get that XML file, no matter it's a coplanar or non-coplanar, that you have an XML file ready and you want to know the energy performance, you want to plug that into Energy Plus or other energy simulation software if they accept BSDF. In this case, we use Energy Plus here and use Windows software. So I don't know if you guys know, you can have construct a glazing system in window as here, and then you can click export, and then in here, in the reporting tab, you can say report to Energy Plus BSDF IDF, and then you will generate the IDF file for Energy Plus for you, and then you can use that IDF file to be used in the Energy Plus simulation for your window or facade system. So we did a comparison between a Energy Plus native overhang objects. So the way the way Energy Plus model overhang is by calculating the area shaded on the window by your overhang geometry. In this case, we compared that with our method that we just saw, the BSDF methods. And then here, clear case is that there's no overhang or any shading system as a reference case. So eventually, we're comparing this overhang with BSDF case to evaluate how good did they agree. So at the bottom, this is a summer solstice day. So you can see there's quite a bit of a difference here in terms of transmitted solar radiation through the window. Though in the winter, we don't see that as much because the sun angle is low. We're using Chicago PM weather here. The reason that we are seeing that difference in summer is because the BSDF methods versus the geometric methods. Here we're plotting the equivalent transmittance by the overhang for every day at 12 at noon. So as you can see here, the Energy Plus native overhang, which is the geometric methods, produce a smooth line. That's derived from some position, whereas in BSDF it is stepped because it's discretized, and that will cause a misalignment with the actual geometric methods. So especially in summer, as we can see, in the summer area, this error becomes pronounced and then become problematic. So one advantage of using the BSDF methods is, of course, you can now model complex fenestration system in Energy Plus. versus traditionally you can't. One trade-off is that you have to increase the resolution of the BSDF in order to produce reasonably good results in critical periods such as summer for cooling load modeling or HVAC sizing. So you can increase the resolution in window, but it's not official. It's you can modify the input format files in window so that you can generate higher resolution. And then you have to also modify the energy plus dictionary file so that it takes higher resolution BSDF. That's it, thanks.
What is the advantage of this F method you compare of modeling the overhang in the daylight matrix?
Yes.
In the three phase method.
So we want to isolate this awning geometry so that you don't have to retrace everything else. So if you include that in the data matrix, and then awning is the only object that changed the scene, you kind of it's inefficient to trace the adjacent building every time. If that makes sense. If your adjacent environment does not change.
So if you have operable awning or something, you might want to just change the angle of the awning. Or change the fabric or the material of the for parametric analysis, then you can use this method.
But if it would be fixed, there wouldn't be difference in accuracy, or maybe.
Yeah. So I think when Johnny did this analysis, we did a summer and winter period with two different awning positions, and I think he picked the most extended. The box encapsulated the most extended position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some inaccuracies, but that was captured in the error analysis.
So when you do the daylight matrix from this box, you basically consider it as a surface. Where do you you don't run daylight matrix for all the surfaces around, right?
The daylight matrix here is generated from this box, so it's a single sampling hemisphere from this box, and then it's, if I remember correctly, it's all the area, surface area, projected surface area in the average direction. So in this case, the average sampling direction is normal to this plane for all surface considered. And then the projected area in that direction, in the direction outwards the window, is only that surface. If that makes sense.
Okay, so we add a little bit of inaccuracy.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Just a general question on the F matrix. You know, there's Saras. Maybe it's what you bring, or whoever can answer it. But Sarath has done a tutorial in his metric-based translations. He's got this F matrix, and it's got, imagine that box, but it has like a huge number of different surface elements on it. Maybe I've still made like 20.
Well, that would be the tubular daylight system that Tammy had earlier that had many, many surfaces.
Does the accuracy degrade when you've got so many?
What Tammy was just explaining in the simple case applies to the more complex case. You're basically sampling rays impinging on that surface from a hemisphere of directions, but then projecting the actual area to the average normal. So in the case of the tubular daylight, it comes down to a circle. In this case, it comes down to that one rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is to actually get the rays coming from all directions. It's not as good as having the multiples, like five surfaces for each surface, because then you can also potentially capture rays coming from behind the building, so more than a hemisphere.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do this hemispherical sampling, you're limited to 180 degrees.
Yeah.
So the errors are due to things that come from behind the building or this side of the building.
Or something pointed off of this facade back to the overhang. To the underside of the overhang.
You can see that in the error analysis table. Tony had, I don't know if you can read it, it's really small, but you've got F1, F1H, F7, the 4 and the 6-phase methods, and each of those gives a different level of error depending on how you account for the rays.
There are a lot of trade-offs. I mean, we only included the F1 because it's actually a useful way to make generic this whole problem, but this may be something for a longer discussion. Because it is a bit complex, and we're not 100% sure ourselves which of these methods is going to be most useful in practice.
I recall there's a trick in the tutorial to stop the light coming in from backwards. I know there's like an extra piece of geometry or something, so it's running a model just to stop that occurrence of it.
I'm not sure you want to stop it, because in some cases it's important.
Sure.
But anyway, like I said, we should probably take this offline,
and
because it's a longer discussion. But let's thank Tony again.